Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you all so much for being here this morning. Praise the Lord. Thanks for being at church. And today we're going to talk a little bit about communication. It's a unique subject to talk about in church because we're talking about Jesus, right? Well, he taught us a lot about communication, and God's word gives us a lot of insight. And without communication, our relationships really suffer. And it's funny because I decided to wear this shirt today for a specific reason. And if you're a regular here, you're like, well, you wear that shirt every weekend. And I do. It's on purpose. I've had people, they'll come up to me and say, do you have another shirt? Yes. Other colors like this. I do have some other ones too. Normally I like to throw a nice little button down or something like that when I'm preaching. But today we're talking about communication. And this is like a form of communication to me. When I'm out in the community, it's more than just wearing a shirt to talk about church, but it's because I get up here every week and do the announcements and encourage you all to wear a shirt. Now, if I run into you at Publix and I'm not wearing a shirt, I'm a hypocrite. I'm not really following my own communication. So I decide to wear it all the time. And here on Sundays, the reason why I wear specifically the black shirt, is because in one of my 40-50 runs back and forth in the foyer throughout the course of the morning, y'all can find me. You know I'm the guy in the black shirt. It whittles it down a little bit. So if you need me for something, if something's going on somewhere and my attention's needed, you don't have to search everybody. You can narrow it down to the guy in the black shirt because I'm wearing a black shirt every single Sunday. Now that's an intentional thing. That's intentional communication. And that's what we're going to talk a lot about today, being intentional in our communication, because we get it wrong so very often. Because we have all different kinds of communication issues. Sometimes we talk too much. Sometimes we don't talk enough. Sometimes our form of communication when we are talking is abrasive or ugly or judgmental. So we got to work on looking at what Scripture teaches. And frankly, everything I say today, you're going to have a hard time arguing. You may not like it, but you're going to have a hard time arguing about it, because everything I'm going to say today is what you would want done to you. So let's go ahead and roll with the message, if you don't mind, brother. Heart to heart. I love that idea of a heart to heart, because I was going to call it pillow talk. And because my very innocent thought was, you know, at night, you know, that right before bed, you have those really sweet conversations. But then it dawned on me as I was building the message, not all conversations could be that way. Life happens. Problems pop up. Disagreements happen. And you can't always have a very nice, gentle conversation. But a heart-to-heart conversation, when I thought of it initially, was you're going to sit down across from somebody and you're going to have a very, very straightforward heart-to-heart conversation with that person. But then I got the image in my mind of somebody hugging somebody else, heart to heart. If you're quiet about it, you can almost feel someone else's heartbeat if you're holding them hard enough, strong enough. That's a level of intimacy. And we're going to get into that word here in a moment. Let's keep going with it, Raj. So the Bible is full of practical wisdom for healthy relationships. I'm going to use my own life a little bit as examples and talk about some stuff, but this is what the God's word teaches us, and it's not just Alex's opinion on all this good stuff. So please follow along with me. And if you're not married here today, or if you're single, or if you're a widow or a widower, please don't check out on me, because this isn't just about marriages. This is about relationships. And these relationships affect how we work with our neighbors, how we work with people we work with. Family, children, all of it. We all have to interact, and it's always a different, everybody you interact with is going to be a little bit different, right? Because we're all so different. So we have to learn how to communicate, and God's word helps us with that. So let's look at how actively hearing and not just listening is how God designed us to communicate. That's the idea today. So we're going to look at why is communication important. Communication creates intimacy. And that word intimacy in the English language has you know, like bedroom connotations to it. Like that's, you automatically think of a very private time with a significant other. But just like the word love in the Greek language, there's four different words that all mean intimacy in English. So in English, you see that word intimacy and you have to try to figure out the context of it. Just like the word love. Love is easier to do. We would say, I love this cheeseburger versus I love my children. Hopefully people understand that's not the same love. Okay? If you don't, you know, we have a little bit of a language barrier and that's okay. They might look at you sideways and that's a good reason to look at you sideways. Okay? But the word intimacy in the Greek also has four different versions. And I'm going to butcher them. So if you speak Greek, I'm sorry. But eros is the intimate one that we always tend to think of, the sex, the private time between a husband and wife. Phila is friends, like Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Phila is a friendship, an intimacy within friendship. We all, if you think about it, can think about you have people in your lives that you're friends with, but it's an intimate relationship. You've known each other since you're little kids. You know all of their problems. You know their happies. You know their sads. There's an intimacy there. The word storge is family intimacy. The only kind of intimacy that you can have with your family. I think about the relationship I have with my granddaughter. And no matter how much I love the rest of my family, there's something different between me and my granddaughter and me and my grandson and me and my children and me and my wife. It's just different. Different levels of intimacy there. And the last one is prasma. It's shared goals with compromise, working together toward a same appointed task. And what I thought was so cool about all four of those things, they're all necessary to make intimacy work in a relationship. All four of them have to combine in a relationship for it to be successful. Intimacy is a state of close personal connection and familiarity. It's not only something that we do between husband and wife. So why communication? There can be no intimacy without communication. There can be no communication without trust. Now, there may be water under a lot of your bridges in these, in your relationships in your life. You may have things in your life, things that have happened, struggles that you're sitting here next to your loved one with, and there's water there and there's a trust issue. The good news is there's still a bridge. There's maybe water under it, but that's okay because there's a bridge. And we're going to get into that bridge. That bridge's name is Jesus Christ. And because he forgave you, you can forgive them. And that's a good chance for communication to start. And as long as you're talking, things can get better. We're going to look at that in a moment. So Jesus showed us how far we should go for our marriages. How did he do that? Well, he went to the cross for you. He died and loved you, yet you were a sinner. He didn't wait for you to get good before he did something for you. He did it for you while you were driving the nail into his wrist. And Paul goes on later on to talk about the relationship between husbands and wives and how husbands ought to sacrifice themselves for their wives as Christ did for the church. That's a big deal. That's a huge ask. But that's the representation we're given in a relationship. I didn't say it the first service. I wish I did. The best line I've heard, and I don't know, I can't remember where I heard it this week, but somebody said, every good marriage begins with two funerals. Think about that for a second. Every good marriage begins with two funerals. And if you're sitting there wondering what I'm talking about, the idea of dying to self, so that you can come together and I will sacrifice all of my wants and all of my needs so my wife can be happy. But the good news is she's doing the same thing for me. So, wow, I get all the stuff I want anyway. And we're happy doing this together because we're working together as a team. That's the kind of relationship that Jesus wants for us to have. So the goal of marriage is to know one another and still love and respect one another. And that's another fun language thing. When you read the Old Testament, which was in Aramaic and Hebrew, the idea of that word no usually is in the context of a sexual experience, a relationship between a husband and wife. He went and knew her, or she went and knew him. Bible talks about this stuff. If you're not in the Word, it gets a little weird sometimes, but it's in there. But I love that. It's not just a physical thing. He knew her. There's an intimacy in that statement that doesn't exist if you're just looking at it from a physical aspect. And that's what we're looking to get. That's what we're looking to build this morning. Because good communication will save your relationship when life happens. What does that mean? Someday, if you're a young family, your children are going to grow up and move out. And one day, all the hustle and bustle is going to be over. And you're going to be in a house after 18 years of doing nothing but living your life for your children. And you're going to look at your spouse and go, who are you? Because the kids take all of it, right? Like we know, we're right back in it with our grandkids. When it's us and our grandkids, we can barely even say hello to each other. It's just like I walk in the door and I'm dragged off one way, she's dragged off another way. Kids dominate the room. And we're so focused on being good parents that we forget sometimes who we are. But the way to save that, the way to stop it from it becoming a problem, that when 18, however many years go by, you don't look at each other and go, who are you? Because you communicate the whole time. You keep talking. You never stop talking. So gentleness and speaking things that build each other up and don't tear each other down can strengthen a relationship and even heal wounds. Talking about that water under the bridge, it's not too late. Again, it's not too late. I don't care how many years you've been married. I don't care how many years ago your hurt was. If you start to talk in love and not in judgment and heal things, things can get better. But you both have to want the same thing, don't you? And why wouldn't you? And it's not about being right at this point. It's about spending the rest of your time on this planet with your spouse in a good relationship. Communicating in such a way where they know where you stand and you know where they stand and you agree to meet in the middle. Because it's not all about you and it's not all about them. It's all about us. Proverbs goes on to say, wise words satisfy like a good meal. I love this scripture because everyone in the room can know what it's like to have a good meal. I'm not talking about Thanksgiving, I can't breathe full. I'm talking about, that was good. Who here's done that recently? You go to a nice place or you make your favorite meal and it's just enough. And you feel good. That's what the right words bring in a conversation. When there's a problem, when there's even an argument starting to bubble, wise words, kind words, loving words are satisfying. Unless you're just looking for the fight. And then that's on you. And that's a problem you got. And you got to work on that. The Bible says that the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. You talk too much, prepare for the consequences. You can either talk love and life into somebody, or you can talk pain, death, and judgment into somebody. You're married. You're in a relationship. This is a friend, a neighbor. It's somebody in your life that matters to you enough that you're even having a conversation. Make the effort to make it a good one. Have a heart-to-heart conversation. Listening and hearing. James says, this you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Don't talk so much. There's a difference between listening and hearing. We're going to get into it in a minute. But I tell you what, the worst thing like that I've been guilty of most of my life, and I still have to tamper it down. I got to remind myself because I'm doing it all of the time, is in the middle of a conversation. You're making your point to me, and I'm not listening to a word. I'm making eye contact, but I am already formulating an argument or a rebuttal. There's no conversation happening there. It's a one-sided, because all you're hearing is, wah, 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 wah. It's a the Peanuts teacher, and you're developing an argument, and it's not going to fix anything. So you have to be slow to speak, which means don't try to formulate a conversation while someone else is speaking. Actually listen to what they're saying and be slow to anger. You may get angry. They may say something that hurts your feelings, but don't you want to fix it, or do you just want to be right? Slow to anger means I hear you, but you're wrong. Can I please talk to you why you're wrong? That word please is like warm butter on toast. It makes it a lot easier. It de-escalates things quickly. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. God's plan for your relationships isn't yelling and screaming. God's plans for your relationships isn't days of silence, anger, bitterness, tolerating each other under the same roof, living like roommates instead of like lovers. And I'm not just talking about physical stuff. I'm talking about coming home and getting a hug. Coming home and saying, actually looking like someone's happy to see you. You can get that back. It wasn't like this when you all were dating. You can get it back. Because listening and hearing are not the same things. Proverbs says that pride goes before destruction. Humility precedes honor. If you're prideful, it will destroy your relationship. Why? Who here in the room likes to be wrong all of the time? Nobody. Throw someone a bone once in a while. I don't care if you're the smartest person in the world. Every once in a while, if you're that bright, you got to know they need to feel some encouragement. So even if you disagree, it's okay not to say anything. I said it first service. I don't know if I said it here or not. But who here has ever convinced a Republican to become a Democrat? Who here has ever convinced a Democrat to become a Republican? Nobody. Not by arguing with them, not by belittling them. People change parties. People are atheists and they become believers in Jesus Christ, become preachers later because the Lord works in them. And there's a process. But if you're down there ramming it down someone's throat, they don't hear it. They don't care. It turns into Charlie Brown's teacher. And that's where the pride is from. So spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. Solomon did not pull punches. The human spirit can endure a sick body. Being physically ill is painful. And some of you, I've known people in this church that have endured unspeakable physical ailments. Surgeries, I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. But you know what? They didn't have a crushed spirit. They were encouraged, they were loved, and they made it through it because of that. In a relationship, if you're crushing your significant others, or just your neighbors, or your children, or somebody you love, you're crushing their spirit to make yourself feel better, you're wrong. We should be lifting each other up, loving each other, being there for each other. And when it's okay if they're not right. You can tell them they're not right, but not by telling them they're an idiot. Not by calling them names and pointing out how wrong they are about everything. How about we do things in love? How about crazy idea? Let's treat them how we want to be treated. Doesn't that work? So intelligent people are always ready to learn. Their ears are open for knowledge. Hearing. The biological process or function or power of perceiving sound. That's what hearing is. Right now, many of you might be wishing you couldn't hear me. But you can't help it unless you stick your fingers in your ears. Specifically, it's a special sense which noises and tones are received as stimuli. You have to block it. You got to figure out a way to make it stop. It's a biological thing your body does, and you can't help it. It's not listening, though. Hearing is just absorbing sound. Listening is different. Listening is to pay attention to sound. And I just encourage you, think of this. If you're trying to tune me out right now, think of your favorite music and that live show you go to. And you're sitting there anticipating that note you love in your favorite song that always brings tears to your eyes. It's a beautiful thing, but boy, oh boy, are you paying attention to catch it. You know it's coming. You're anticipating it. You're excited for it. You're listening for it. To hear something with thoughtful attention is different than hearing. It's to give consideration to the person you're speaking to. Who here loves being in those conversations when the person's staring right through you? And you know they're not hearing a word. Nobody. I'm guilty of doing it. Roger calls it the look. Donna says I get a glazed look over my eyes sometimes. And I just go away. It's not intentional. But when I catch it, I know it's wrong. I also said at the first service, one of my terrible habits is we can be having a serious conversation about something and I'm paying attention. I'm sincerely interested in what she's saying, but I'll pick up my phone. Oh. She never gets mad. She never yells at me. She never can. But I know it's wrong because I know what I would feel like if she did that to me. We have to be thoughtful of things. We have to pay attention. Treat others how you want to be treated. Speaking to, not at. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul, and healthy to the body. A couple of weeks ago, and I almost had an ugly cry first service about this, but I talked it through, so I should be good. A couple of weeks ago, I come home from church, and Donna's sitting at the dining room table. And she looks at me and goes, You know something? I'm like, what? And she goes, I got something funny. And I said, what? And I thought it'd be some little anecdote or some story someone told her here at church today. She said, I saw you walking across the foyer. If this is your first time here, I cry at least once a service. I'm sorry. Usually when I'm talking about her or my grandkids. I saw you walking across the foyer. And I was excited to see you. She made me feel like a king in my home. I could have walked through hell with a water pistol because I know she's got my back. And I know she loves me. Not just because she said that. All it did was confirm how she feels, how she treats me. It just confirmed it. I didn't even need to hear it. I knew it. But she confirmed it. And it meant everything. Amen? So, I just tell you that story because like the scripture says, kind words are like honey. They're sweet. They're helpful. Honey heals wounds. Did you all know that? There's a certain kind of honey out there. You can put it on an open wound and it heals faster. But I tell you what, you pour some lemon juice on it. We got problems. And some of us speak in lemon juice. It's a terrible language. Let's sweeten it up with some honey. So let's speak to each other how we wish to be spoken to. Ephesians. And this scripture is all about the church, okay? But I figured if it works for the church, it can work for us at home. It can work for us with our neighbors. It can work with us with whoever in our lives because this is a good advice for some communication. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment. According to the need of the moment. It's important that you time these things properly. Where'd we go? Sorry, brother. So that it will give grace to those who hear. If you use the right words, it's like grace. It's like honey. If you don't, it's lemon juice. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. If you're not doing this stuff, and if you're a saved Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you've accepted Him as Savior, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. And if you're not doing this stuff, you're grieving Him. And you know what that is? It's God. You're grieving God. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with the malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. We don't do that enough. So often we want to be right. We want to be justified. We want to prove ourselves. And that becomes more important than forgiving because we've been forgiven. I encourage you to do that today. Because forgiving isn't just for you. It's not just for them. Excuse me, I meant that. It's not just for them. It is for you. Also, because if you're carrying around those hurts, that bitterness, that malice, all those things, it's a poison pill. You're drinking from a poison well in your own life. You're not letting go of things that have no effect on you anymore unless you let it. You're clinging to the bitter instead of embracing the honey. And it's going to ruin things. It's going to make it so that you can't move forward in your relationships that you have. So have a heart-to-heart conversation. By the way, I love the graphic. Thank you again, Roger. Speaking with love and respect is so important. Why? Because we want to be spoken to with love and respect. But speaking in truth and love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted to held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up itself in love. Love and respect, how you communicate with people, build you up, build them up. It helps you grow. If you're wondering why you're in a stagnant relationship, this might be a good place to start. If you're coming home and it's cold, and you're feeling cold, start with a conversation. Start with a date. If this works for the church, it should work in relationships as well. If this helps me work with random people I don't know that well in the community, it should help with the people that I say I love the most at home. I should be making 10 times the effort at home that I do in the community to be a better husband, a better father, a better grandpa. It's because it's important to balance truth and love and caring in our communications. Being right all of the time isn't the thing. It's not the goal. Because sometimes you're wrong, even if you're right. And if you're doing damage and you're crushing someone's soul, even if you're right, you're wrong in your relationship. Because again, unless it's received like honey, they're not hearing it. They're not receiving it. All it is it's another weight on them, another stone on their head telling them they're just not good enough for you. They're not smart enough. They're not this, they're not that. Whatever's going on in your relationship, do things in love. Remember how you felt when you were dating. You didn't do this while you were dating. Get back there. I know it's not easy. I'm not saying like you can flip a switch and all of a sudden, woohoo, everything's great. But you can start. You can try. Because screaming and being a know-it-all shuts people down, doesn't open them up. Who here loves being belittled? Who here loves being wrong in every conversation? Nobody. Don't be that person. Because people may be listening, but they're not hearing you. They're staring through you, waiting for you to finish so they can get away. So speaking with love, we need and respect, we need to live in prayer. The Bible says, devote yourselves to praying, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. So be thankful and pray for others. This will help you. It's hard to be constantly in prayer to the Lord, talking to Jesus, asking Him for help, asking Him to make you a better follower of Him so that other people may want to know Jesus because of you. It's hard to do all of that and then be a devil at home with your family. You can do it, but you got to flip a switch and you also have to intentionally do it. You have to stop praying when you enter that house. Don't stop praying. Pray all day. And I'm not talking about on your knees doing some type of long, drawn-out prayer using big words. I walk through the day sometimes like, Lord, I need you to grab the wheel today. Alex is about to take this thing off-roading. It's okay to talk to him that way. He gets it. And if you don't know that, read the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah's like, what now? He's great. He talks to God like how we talk to our parents sometimes. It's wild. So the Bible goes on to say, praying at the same time for us as well. Now remember, this is Paul's in prison at this time. God will open the door for us for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned. Paul is asking for others to pray because he knows the power of prayer. And that I might also make clear the way how I ought to speak. Paul, the one who wrote all these books in the Bible, who's speaking every day to people about Jesus, he's asking for help with his own tongue. So why don't you? Why don't I? We can do it. He wants to help us. Talking to Jesus throughout the day will help you be more thankful and communicate better with everyone. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Works at home too, not just outsiders. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt. Has anybody here ever added a pinch of salt to their coffee? It takes away the bitterness of that coffee. Believe it or not, like you can drink black coffee with a pinch of salt. Totally different than just, you know, the nasty black coffee that you drink without the salt. You don't have that sugar, salt, nothing. I mean, a sugar cream or nothing. A pinch of salt goes miles, taking away the bitterness. What else does salt do? It cures. It preserves. He's saying here, if you do this, you're going to preserve relationships. If you add some of this, what is this salt? Salt and light. You hear different things. It's all about the love. It's all about the way you speak. The kindness you can show makes a bigger difference than being strong all of the time. So that you will know how you should respond to each person, because everybody's different. We all talk to people differently. So having a heart-to-heart, having that intimate conversation with your love, with your friends, with your family. But here you are sitting and you're like, you know what? You can't teach an old dog new tricks. I've heard this before. I can't change. Don't expect this of me. I'm going to go home now and I'm going to get a lecture. What does the Bible say about that? Because it feels like an excuse to say that. With all the scriptures we've gone through today, Jesus going to the cross for us, and we're going to sit here and go, I'll take the salvation part, but you can keep the rest. I suggest you check yourself. There is a scripture that says, get away from me, I never knew you. Even though that person said, I did this in your name and that in your name. Better be careful. Because the Bible says, before Jesus ever stepped foot on this earth as the Messiah, way, way, way back in the time of Ezekiel, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. What? I thought that was an axe. No, this is what, 2,000 years prior? Maybe not that long. I will take your stony, stubborn heart, and I will give you a tender, responsive heart. If you're sitting here today saying you can't change, you're calling the Lord our God a liar. It's not easy, and I'm not saying it's something that's going to happen overnight. And if you're that person in here that's sitting here praying for your loved one, that they'll listen to this, you listen too. And you have a heart that's open to someone failing, but trying, and being available, and also wanting to grow. Not separately, not because I'm better than you, together. Remember, when a good marriage starts, it starts with two funerals. Doesn't have to be on your wedding day. It can start today. And I encourage you all to do so. Thank you all so much. And don't forget. Thank you, brother. Praise the Lord. Thank you. So we need to remember in our relationships, we need to love and do like Jesus loves in our relationship with Him. And what did that look like? He didn't say, I'm going to wait for you guys to figure it out. When you guys have it down most of the way, I'll show up. He didn't say, y'all get right with me first, and then I'll come halfway. He didn't say any of those things. He did the old-fashioned, the ultimate mom guilt move and said, I'll do it. Leah, you just stay on the couch. I'll do it. That's what Jesus did. He came down from heaven in man's form, died a horrific death, so that you could lose a stony heart and have a heart of tenderness put inside you. And the bonus, and that's just like the cherry on top, the Sunday is eternity out of a devil's hell. So if you are in this room this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, I can't encourage you enough to do so.